to those on our telephone line, to those on Facebook Live, to anyone who sees this after the fact, God's grace, his peace, and his unending love to you, now and forever. Amen. I want to call today's message, "We've Never Done It This Way Before." Now, some of you who are Lutherans to the core are familiar with that phrase. We kind of joke about ourselves at times when someone tries something new and or comes up with a new idea, and the common response is, "We've never done it that way before." Well, friends, sometimes we get pushed, we get yanked, maybe even kicking and screaming, into doing things we've never done before. You might be able to think back to the first time you had to deal with a smartphone as opposed to just a normal phone. Or maybe it was trying to work with a computer or something else, some of the fast-changing technology that is around us, or doctors spitting out terms, NPO and RPO and just all kinds of things that we would rather stick to more familiar terms like the Astros and RBI and win. But we have been pulled into this new world that has other new terms. COVID-19, social distancing, things that you and I had never heard of before 1 or 2 or 3 weeks ago. And we have never done it this way before. Historians tell us that the 1918 Spanish flu, which circled the globe, may have taken as many as 150 million lives, 50 million that are verified, but it was thought by scholars to be many more. That's the last thing that even comes close to what we are experiencing right now. We have never done church this way before in our memory or in our generation, in this millennium. And yet here we are. Here we are connected together with each other. Here we are striving to still be the body of Christ. Here we are to encourage and give hope. And even though we've never done it this way before, we have an example in our Savior Jesus. Now, before I get to him, though, I want to talk just a tiny bit about David. You know, David was so faithful. This young man, a shepherd boy who had cared for his father's flock, who then suddenly gets anointed to be king. And even though that actual kingship doesn't come for some 15 or 17 years, David feels it in his heart to go and fight a giant Goliath who is mocking the people of Israel, mocking not only the people of Israel, but the God of Israel. David had never done anything like that before. Oh, he had fought off a bear. He had fought off a lion. But he had never fought off a giant. And yet there he was, ready to go in faith, believing that the God who had been with him through everything else in his life would be with him through that new challenge. Earlier, last summer, we actually did a teaching series about this idea of David and Goliath, and perhaps you could go on our website and learn more about that, about the giants of fear that we could have fall in our own lives. But when David had that victory, after he depended on God, that's when he wrote the 23rd Psalm. He wrote that in celebration of all that God had done for him. He wrote that remembering that even though he has been a shepherd for sheep, he had a shepherd above him, the good shepherd, God himself, who watched over him. David, who descended from the troops up on their mountaintop down into the valley to face the giant, was remembering those words when he wrote in Psalm 23, "Even though I walk down into the valley of deepest darkness, yet I will fear no evil." It's interesting the words he chose there. He said, "If I go through the valley," maybe, in this world where things have changed so fast, where stores, restaurants, sports teams, governments, everything, banks have shut down so quickly, maybe, we need the reminder that we are going through a valley. this moment in time is not going to be forever. This moment in time, this scary, uncertain time, is not going to be forever. If you need a reminder or a reference, or can you give me any proof of that, Pastor? Can I remind us of 9/11? Think back to how shocked we all were on 9/11, on even the days and weeks and months afterward. I remember thinking the world was never going to be the same. And it's true. We have to go through a lot more screening. There are things that have changed. But there was a normal that emerged after a period of time. We went through a valley of pain and uncertainty as a nation and as a church. And we came out of it depending on God, depending on each other, and still doing the love and the witnessing and the sharing and the encouraging that God asks us to do to one another. Just like we made it through that very much generational change, I want us to hear, church. I want you to hear, my sister and brother in Christ. I want you who are wondering and maybe even fearful watching this, I want you to hear this is a valley. This is a moment we are going to go through, and we will come out on the other side. We will come out knowing and remembering that God's goodness and mercy will follow us all of our days, even this one. We will go through this valley, and we have a promise from God that we need fear no evil. Now, we want to be wise and wash our hands. We want to be smart and practice the social distancing that science-based medicine and our leaders tell us to do. But we don't need to fear, because God's goodness and mercy will hold on to us this day, all throughout the COVID-19 situation. And even, no matter what happens, we're going to be in his house forever. The house that he prepares in heaven for us. The house that Jesus has been working on now. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. And I just want you to imagine, friend, that God, who made this world in 6-7 days, has been working on the new world, the new heaven, and the new earth ever since. If you think this world is beautiful, Texas sunsets, beaches, mountains, all that we enjoy, imagine how beautiful is the new world, the new heaven, and the new earth that God has planned and promised for you and I to dwell in. That's our future, but our now is we do not need to fear. We do not need to fear because we have a shepherd who loves us, who restores our souls and promises to be with us through everything. And we have the one that sets an example for us. Remember I said earlier that Jesus is a great example for us because he's the one who did something that he had never done before. Imagine you've got a crowd, 4,000-5,000 men with women and children, who knows, another 15,000-20,000 people gathered together there. They had come to see the teacher. They had come to see the miracle worker. They had come for hope, for answers. And while they were gathered together, they had real physical needs. They were hungry. Jesus asked his disciples, hey guys, what do you think we could do to get a bite to eat for these folks? How about a little church snack time, a buffet? I probably shouldn't be talking about food. I'm noticing my stomach's rumbling. Maybe yours is too, but I hope you'll get some good food afterwards. But when he asked that question, John 6 includes a little tiny detail I hope you don't miss. Jesus asked this question only to test them. He already had in mind what he was going to do. Now think about that. Jesus asked his disciples, he asked his followers, to take on a task they had never done before. Hey guys, how about drumming up some food? How about we feed 20,000 people? And their response was, we don't have it. Or in Lutheranese, we've never done that before. But Jesus has in mind already what he is going to do. And that is so important for us to hear. Because when we realize that he already has a plan, that COVID-19 did not take Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, by surprise. God already has a plan for how he wants to work in us and how he wants to work through us. God is good. And it is a good plan that we're going to unfold and see happen before us. But I think we can have some pretty good guesses of what that plan entails. That plan entails us sharing the love we have received and giving it to others. In 1 John, it says it so simply, we love because he first loved us. Since God has so loved us, let us also love one another. Maybe a great way for you to remember that is a cute little Sunday school song that I remember teaching kids and I was in seminary. Maybe it's handy for you too. We love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. We love, we love, we love because he first loved us. Well, maybe you'll have that one stuck in your ear all day long. If so, blame me. Send me a text or put something on Facebook and just say, thanks for that. But in all seriousness, the plan that Jesus has in mind is for us to go on loving. That means connecting with each other on the phone, by text, by Facebook, doing some of the things that we've seen others do in other nations, standing out on our front porches or our lawns and maybe having a moment of praise and applause, prayer for the healthcare workers who are on the front lines of all this. We know that a big part of God's plan is for us to love each other. I would suggest to you another part of his plan is that we also get back to basics. How about in the midst of all this time and that we have on our hands, how about we spend or start each day opening our Bibles, opening our hearts in prayer, and asking God to open our hearts and our minds to what he would have us do, who he would have us love and serve that day. You know, I think some of this stuff could just be so simple. I don't know how many of you have a little app on your phone or in your life called Nextdoor, but we do in our neighborhood. And I was just so touched because some poor dear person said, I want to offer a trade. I'm on a septic system and I can only use single ply toilet paper. When I went to the store, all they had was, you know, double ply. And I know everybody needs toilet paper. If anybody could do a swap with me, I'd be really grateful. You know, in all honesty, a few rolls of toilet paper, a couple of cans of tuna fish, a moment of prayer, listening to someone and asking how they're doing. These are ways that God is going to work. And they seem like small things, don't they? However, think back to our story in John chapter 6. What did Jesus have to work with? 12 disciples. And all they could muster up were 5 loaves and 2 fish. The small things are what Jesus can work with. Don't despise the day of small things, the Old Testament tells us. And it's so true. You know, Jesus took those 5 loaves and he took those 2 fish that were offered willingly. He then prayed. He gave thanks for what had been given. Little things, 5 loaves, 2 fish. He gave thanks for what was given. And he did the multiplying. Make sure you get that. We bring what little we have, our cans of tuna, our little bit of faith to pray, our tender heart, just us, 1 heart, 2 hearts, maybe 5 hearts. We bring that to God and he takes it. He gives thanks, and he'll divide it up to where it needs to go. He'll prompt our heart. He'll show us the person that needs something or someone to listen, someone to care, someone to share. He will take what we offer and give thanks for it. 5 minutes on the phone, 2 minutes to text, reaching out to 5 people each day to say hello, to check in. These little things God can take, and he will take, and he'll multiply them because he already has in mind what he's going to do. Now, maybe you're on the end where you can give. Maybe you are on the end like that great crowd who needs first to receive. Friends, whatever, wherever you're at, do that. If you need to receive, then be the one that reaches out and says, you know, I'm really fearful. I'm really anxious. I could really use someone to talk to. I'm really short on toilet paper, or I'm ready to make a swap. Whatever it is. These are times when if you need to receive, ask. I was listening to the news yesterday, and in particular, they said that our senior citizens, that they were often very hesitant to follow all of these things that are said about self-isolating and social distancing. And one person was speculating that perhaps our senior citizens were thinking, wow, this is just the start of me having to give up my freedom. But friend, if that's you, I want to offer this. This isn't the start of something permanent. This is a valley we're going through. So if we have to give up some things, being with other people, being face to face with them, shaking hands, and so forth, for a time, we're going to be okay. There are other ways for us to still connect. Maybe some of us need to learn texting, even though we've resisted it. Maybe some of us can learn Facebook, even though we've resisted it. And by the way, I'm one that's included. If you want to know why this has all taken so long and why we're still at such a basic level, it's because I still need to learn a lot about Facebook. So we're working at it, and plenty to learn all the way around. But if you need to receive, friend, ask. Jesus made the promise, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open unto you. And ask by Facebook, ask by text. My number, I've had it on the announcement video earlier, but I'll say it again. 832-576-6716. Ask. We'll do all that we can to help. And invite you to reach out to other church members. This is a time to ask if you need to ask. It is not a time to suffer or be afraid or be hurting alone. If you are on the place where you can give, well, friends, check in with others. Do it in a polite way. I've got, you know, I don't have much, but I've got 5 loaves. I've got 2 fish. I've got 5 minutes. I've got my 2 hands to text or care or pray or whatever. How can I help and support you? And if we ask in just a very open, loving, God-motivated way, God will take that. He will give thanks, and you will bless someone. So friends, even though we may not have ever done it this way before, God has in mind how he's going to bring us through this, how he is going to help his church learn new things, how he is going to support you, and how we are going to work together to support and bless and encourage one another. Let me close with one thought, and I may have shared this at Gethsemane before, but this notion of geese flying in a V. I'm sure we've all seen that on TV or maybe even live and in person. When geese are flying in a V to migrate, there's always one goose up in the front. And one of the reasons for doing that is they create a reduction of aerodynamic drag. In other words, it makes it easier for the other geese to fly. In fact, whatever scientists figure these things out about geese, they said that the one goose in the front reduces the drag and then that effect builds for all the others. So they can fly about 60% further flying in that formation than if they just flew in a big bunch. You know, that is a sign and a reminder that God goes before us, and he is the one we can fly in formation with. He'll reduce the drag and make the journey so much easier when we stay close to him. The scripture from Galatians 5 that we were studying for Lent reminds us, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So think of that formation. You may get tired. Maybe you're the lead goose. Maybe you're the giver. Maybe you're the one helping others. And you may get tired. But I encourage you, let the honking of your fellow geese help you keep going. And if you need to step out for a while, there will be someone else that can step in and lead. God has those gifts in his people. And all we have to do is ask. May he be glorified. May you be encouraged. And may God, who has in mind what he is going to do, help us all this day and every day until we dwell in his house forever. Amen.